Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Welcome back to another episode of Journey with Suratul Hajj. In the first episode, we looked at the first four ayahs. And the summary was that this surah encompasses our whole religion. If you've missed that episode, you can always go back and watch it and join us back, inshallah. Sheikh Shakur, last episode we looked at the first four like we mentioned. And there was a lot of things that we discussed about having taqwa and the shattering and the emphasis of what would happen to people on that day. And I believe we left it off, the whole of mankind will be in a drunken state.
And remember, we talked about the contrast of those people who would deny this purpose of life and how they would just make up other purposes and how hollow their existence would be. And then in the end, on that day, they end up in the hellfire. So we covered those four verses. And then we come to the next few verses. So we're going to look now from verses 5 to 7, inshallah. So Allah says,
يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِن كُنتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّنَ الْبَعْثِ فَإِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطَفَةٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ عَلَقَةٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ مُضْغَةٍ مُخَلَّقَةٍ وَغَيْرِ مُخَلَّقَةٍ لِنُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ وَنُقِرُّ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ مَا نَشَاءُ إِلَى أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى ثم نخرجكم طفلا ثم لتبلغوا أشدكم ومنكم من يتوفى ومنكم من يرد إلى أرذل العمر لكي لا يعلم من بعد علم شيئا وترى الأرض هامدة فإذا أنزلنا عليها الماء اهتزت وربت وأنبتت من كل زوج بهيج ذلك بأن الله هو الحق وأنه يحيي الموتى
وأنه على كل شيء قدير. O people, if you should be in doubt about the resurrection, then consider that indeed we created you from dust, then from a sperm drop, then from a clinging cot, and then from a lump of flesh, formed and unformed, that we may show you. O people, if you should be in doubt about the resurrection, then consider that indeed we created you from dust, then from a sperm drop, then from a clinging cot, and then from a lump of flesh, formed and unformed, that we may show you. And we will settle in the wombs whom we will for a specified term. Then we bring you out as a child, and then we develop you, that you may reach your time of maturity. And among you is he who is taken in early death, and among you is he who is returned to the most decrepit old age, so he knows, after once having knowledge, nothing. And you see the earth barren, but when we send down upon it rain, it quivers and wells and grows something of every beautiful kind. That is because Allah is the truth, and because He gives life to the dead, and because He is over all things competent. And that they may know that the hour is coming, no doubt about it, and that Allah will resurrect those in the graves.
So the first thing you notice, Yani, the first ayah of this bunch is half a page long, and Allah is telling you and proving to you why the ba'ath, why the resurrection is a certainty. And it's basically teaching us a principle. You know, the authentic revelation never contradicts, but is rather in perfect alignment with sound reasoning. Let me say it again, because this is a really fundamental point. The revelation itself, what Allah reveals, once we know that this is from Allah, that will never contradict and oppose sound reasoning. Not anyone's reasoning, by actual sound reasoning. Okay. So let's go through the verse and see how that works. So Allah says, O mankind, if you're in doubt about this resurrection that's going to happen, then look at these things. We created you from dust. And that was Adam alayhi salam. Then from dust, after that creation, then we created you from nutfa, yani semen. We created you from that liquid. Then we created you, as you started off as a liquid, then it was an alaqa, this piece of blood that clings. Then we created you from this mudra, like this chewed piece of flesh, whether it has a particular form and it looks shaped like an insan or it doesn't. مُخَلَّقَ وَغَيْرِ مُخَلَّقَ. Why did we do this? لِنُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ. So that we would make it clear to you. Make what clear? When you look.
At the stages now.
Yeah.
What becomes clear?
Yeah. What becomes clear once you know, yeah, this is actually how you were created. This is how every single one of us came into existence. What becomes clear?
Well, it sounds like what becomes clear is what Allah is saying in the beginning of this verse. Resurrection. That we're going to be resurrected,
right? That is a fact. How do you come to the conclusion that that must be fact then?
Because look, I'm thinking to myself, when this was revealed 1400 or so years ago, we didn't have the technology that we have now.
Exactly.
So knowing that mankind, as if us, we go through different stages of what is described in this ayah, we now know it to be certain because technology has told us that this is what happens. So I'm thinking, resurrection hasn't happened yet, but Allah is talking about it as if it's 100% going to happen too. And I'm taking it from someone just reading it for the first time, right? Resurrection is going to happen, and this is the evidence for it. Look at the stages. If you've got doubted, look at this and know that as you are created, that's how resurrection is going to happen.
Exactly. Now, if you think even further and take it even further, 1,443 years ago, and more than that, because that was the date of the Hijrah. And this is a Makki surah. This is a Makki part. Okay? So this is telling you about something at that time, it was part of the unseen. Okay? No one could have known this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unlettered, the Arabs didn't know this. The world at that time didn't know this. So now, Allah's telling you, these are the stages of your creation, which you can't even see right now. And later it will be known by humanity, just as I know this, and I'm telling you the truth about this, likewise, what I told you about the resurrection is true. And that's not the only example. Okay, so that's the first example Allah starts with, so that you can know for a certainty that the resurrection is true, fact, just as these things Allah is saying, as I'm mentioning to you, are fact.
So the resurrection is part of our journey.
Yep, that is the ultimate end.
And there's no doubt in it.
Yeah, and just see how the beginning of the surah, the first thing you're focused on is the objective of life, which is the end goal.
Yawm
al-Qiyamah. And here again, right, be certain about that end goal. Because just imagine, if your end goal is something else, that dictates everything you're going to do in life. That dictates how you're going to behave, how you're going to speak, what you're going to do with people. Everything. So Allah is saying, this is your goal, because this is the only fact that you can actually put all your faith in. Yeah? Then Allah says about the life that we witness, that everyone knows. وَنُقِرُّ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ مَا نَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. We establish in the wombs to the appointed time whatever we will. Yeah, so we know some pregnancies go the distance, some pregnancies don't. ثُمَّ نُخْرِجُكُمْ طِفْلًا. Then you come out of the wombs and you become infants, yeah, children. ثُمَّ لِتَبْلُغُوا أَشُدَّكُمْ. Then you gain strength and maturity and power. Yeah, you become this person. Then Allah takes us through the next stages of life. So you've gone from your mother's womb, you've come out as a child. You've grown up, you've become an adult and strong and firm and everything else. You've developed. Then, وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُتَوَفَّى. Some of you pass away. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَلِ الْعُمَرِ. And some of you live to an old age where you become senile and you lose your faculties. And yeah. Subhanallah, you look at the way Allah describes this. Yeah, it's funny because my mother, who's now around 80 years old, yeah, she said this to me. She said that, you know, the hardest part of life is this old age, where you've lost your strength, and you know, you've lost your authority, and you're suffering from illnesses, and you're struggling to do basic things.
And you know, as a young man, you doubt, that's not going to happen to
me. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And yeah. Here, when the scholars talk about this, they affirm, because of the way Allah describes it, this is the worst, the words used here, this is the worst part of our lives.
Getting to old age.
Yeah, because remember, you built up, and now it's all gone. And just imagine, for those people, and may Allah protect us from this and make it easy for them.
Ameen.
After all of that strength and authority and knowledge, then they become senile, they lose it all. May Allah protect us. And this is one of the du'as, that, oh Allah, don't let us experience becoming senile. You see how it is, you're worse than a child. Because that's not acceptable at that age. Whereas a child, they do things that are wrong and have no meaning and no sense. It doesn't matter.
We find it cute and adorable.
Yeah, but at that age, no.
It becomes annoying.
Yeah. So then Allah takes us through that. He says, reflect on that. Right? You go through this journey. Do you think it's going to stop? Then Allah says, right, affirming the resurrection with something that we see and we feel with our senses. وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ حَامِدَةً. And you see the earth when it's barren, and then we send upon it rain, and then you see it flourish with all of the different vegetation, all of the different types. So here, this is a rational proof of the resurrection. You see Allah gives life to a dead earth through water.
Yeah, and we know lands in Makkah, Medina, when it's mostly barren, right? But then when the water comes, I think a couple of years ago, when water came, there was grass started growing.
Exactly.
Things started coming out.
This is known, experienced, lived reality. So Allah uses this as a proof. Look, I give life to death. You witness it. And just like this, you're going to be given life. And if you think, how are human beings going to be resurrected Yawm al-Qiyamah? You die, you rot, even your bones rot, everything disappears, and then the Prophet ﷺ says to us, the tailbone, the end, like a seed, remains, and that will never be destroyed. And then a rain comes, Yawm al-Qiyamah, after the first blowing, after the second blowing now, the life will be given again, the rain comes, and you grow
again,
like a plant. Yeah?
SubhanAllah.
Wallahu yukhrijukum. Allah takes you out of the earth, just like that. We grow like the plants grow, and then we become human beings again. So Allah's telling you, you've seen how I give life. Why are you doubting it? What is this nonsense you people are on?
SubhanAllah. Sheikh, we're going to take a quick break here. Brothers and sisters, please join us back after this quick break. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Welcome back after the break. Inshallah. Sheikh, I want to get straight into it. We were talking about how insan goes through different stages as an evidence, right? But you mentioned something about a certain element, a seed, that's never destroyed.
Yeah. That's something the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, that this part of the tailbone, the end of the tailbone, that remains. So all of you will diminish, all of you will disintegrate basically in the earth and become part of the earth, except that seed which will remain. And then from that, when Allah sends down the rain after the second blowing of the horn by Israfil alayhi salam, then that rain will cause that seed to grow, and you will grow back into a human being, but in a new form, because the form that we will have Yawm al-Qiyamah is different to our forms right now. Okay. So that will happen. These are from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ.
It's amazing, subhanAllah.
Yeah, this is Allah's creation. So Allah is saying, look, your creation now is amazing. He took us through how we are, Adam alayhi salam was created from the earth itself. Yeah, a grasping of the earth that Allah took. Okay, that was Adam alayhi salam. Then He created the ability within Adam alayhi salam and his wife Hawa, who was created from him, part of his rib.
Yeah.
the ability to then have children. Okay? That's amazing in itself. Okay? The reason why we don't find it amazing, because it's normal. All mammals
become
do
normal
that.
Now.
Yeah, mm. All mammals. But you see a woman when they go through childbirth and how they talk about there's nothing amazing like it. Because they live through that. Yeah, they live through the development of the baby. And Allah's saying, look, don't you look how amazing my creation of you is. It just, really, if you just pondered over that, the stages. You know when we first read about the stages and how it matches what the Quran has said 1400 years ago,
etc. Now we know it to go through those stages.
The first time you read that, didn't it blow your mind?
To be honest, you know what got me was the lump that we are in. I think the second stage, right after the clotting of the blood, then we become this kind of a lump. I think it looks like an insect or something if you really look at it.
This
caught me. I was thinking, subhanAllah, there is no way 1443 years ago that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would know this.
But yani, something really amazing that always catches my attention is that when Allah describes us going through the stage of alaqa, something that clings. We cling to that which is around us.
Yeah.
Even from day dot, you're in your mother's womb, you cling to the womb because that's around you. When we come out of the womb, what do we cling to?
We cling to
our mother who's around us.
Yeah.
As we get older, we cling to the earth and the worldly things. Our nature never actually changes.
We're always clinging.
We're always clinging.
We're clinging natured people. Eh?
But the thing is, we get fooled into clinging to the wrong things.
SubhanAllah.
And Allah is telling you, right from the outset of this surah, don't cling to the wrong thing. Cling to me.
Cling on to the rope of Allah. SubhanAllah.
Yeah, that's it. So, as you move through, and the next ayah is perfectly that. What did Allah say? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. That is because Allah is the truth. And then he says, right, basically he's telling us, I'm only going to tell you the truth. I'm only going to tell you fact. Everyone else will lie to you and try to dupe
you. Deceive you and take you here, take you left, take you right.
But the reality is, Allah is the absolute truth. And he will only tell you the truth. There's no hidden agendas with Allah. Then he says, yeah, and likewise, I'm the one who gives life to the dead. And likewise, I'm the one who is able to do everything. Now, when you just take a moment, these three statements, I am the absolute truth. I give life to the dead. I am able over everything. Look at the majesty of our Lord. It just brings your heart to the position it should be in. It's like your heart is compelled to bow.
SubhanAllah.
It's compelled, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
And subhanAllah, that feeling there, wanting to bow down to Allah, that's our innate nature. Because when we feel that majesty, it's not an effort. It's not a chore. It's so natural. And it's beloved.
As if you're breathing.
Isn't it? That's it. That's exactly what it is.
As if you're breathing.
Yeah. It's that
relief.
Yeah.
Sigh of relief.
Peace. Yeah. Tranquility descends. And that reminds me that this surah has two sajdas in it. Two. Okay. According to the Hanbali opinion and the Shafi'i opinion. Right. So you've got half of the jurists of our tradition saying there's two sajdas in this surah. No other surah of the whole Quran has two sajdas.
This has.
This one, according to two of our four madhahib, has two sajdas in it. In fact, there's other hadith that talk about one of the companions, Uqba ibn Amir, who says to the Prophet ﷺ, this surah has been given prominence and virtue because it has two sajdas in it.
Was this the surah that when was recited when in Mecca, when most of the Meccans were not Muslim, but they heard it and they made sujood?
No, it's not this one.
This one.
That was Surah An-Najm.
Okay.
This one has one sajda towards the beginning, like on the third page, and then the last sajda is at the end of the surah.
But what I wanted to just emphasize on, Imagine that, even them being non-Muslim at that stage, they were compelled to just...
Yeah, the majesty of Allah, how can it not do that?
SubhanAllah.
When, yani, you know Abu Jahl, the people who hated the Prophet and were the worst enemies of the Prophet, they couldn't help but come and listen secretly to the Qur'an. Because this Qur'an has a majestic nature about it, because it's from Allah, it's Allah's speech, it's no one else's. You can't help but to be drawn to it.
And at that time they loved poetry and poems.
I'm telling you, yani, we are nothing compared to them. The believers and the disbelievers from amongst them, when it comes to appreciating this Qur'an, we can't touch them. Because their Arabic was pure. And they understood the majesty of this Qur'an. We can't appreciate it because we're so detached. But still, it's been preserved for us. And if we strive, we can start appreciating that majesty and continue in that journey. So, yani, that majesty of Allah, after He tells you, this is what I do in the creation. I did it in you and I do it on the ground before you and you witness it all. How can you not realize this simple fact? I am the absolute truth. I give life to the dead whenever I feel like it. I do everything and anything I want to do. And you witness that day in, day out. Won't you reflect? Won't you just follow this truth that is embedded in you? Then Allah continues. Again, He reminds us, and it's a constant reminder. And if you think, this is what we need in our daily lives. Mm. You know, how many times... Yeah, I know day of resurrection. Then you get busy with work and family and whatever and a rat race. And then you think, you know, I can get away with this. I can say this and get away with it. And you need to be reminded, hey, you're going to see Allah. And it could be in the next second. Yeah. You really want to do that? So Allah says, وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَا لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا. The hour is coming without any doubt. It's a certainty. And Allah is going to bring out the dead from the graves. And look at that. You just had reminder after reminder. Beginning of the surah like that. Middle of the surah like that. Then we've just come a few verses away from that. And again, reminder. What does that tell you about how much we need the reminder of death and the resurrection?
And if you're in any doubt, look at all the stages and evidences before it.
Yeah. This journey... Yeah, you know where it started, with your birth. Okay, you came into the world, you're going stage by stage. So where does it end? Exactly where Allah told you, in front of Him. Nowhere else.
It's not going to go left or right, it's going to come here.
So only one destination. There's no two ways about it. Then, right, we've had that move. That was Ayah 7. Then, let's have a look now at verses 8 through to 10. So this is where Allah says,
وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَن يُجَادِلُ فِي اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ وَلَا هُدًى وَلَا كِتَابٍ مُنِيرٍ ثَانِيَ عِطْفِهِ لِيُضِلَّ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يضل عن سبيل الله له في الدنيا خزي ونذيقه يوم القيامة عذاب الحريق ذلك بما قدمت يداك وأن الله ليس بظلام للعبيد.
And of the people is he who disputes about Allah without knowledge or guidance or an enlightening book from Him, twisting his neck in arrogance to mislead people from the way of Allah, for him in the world of disgrace, and we will make him taste on the day of resurrection the punishment of the burning fire, while it is said, that is for what your hands have put forth, and because Allah is not ever unjust to His servants.
SubhanAllah again. Right, this experience of life should make you bow down to Allah's majesty. But there's always going to be these people who will reject the majesty of Allah. And then Allah tells us why. They're not enlightened. It's not because rationally it's not correct,
yeah,
and it's not sound logically and intellectually. Nothing to do with that. Allah says to us very clearly in these verses, the only reason they're doing this is because of their arrogance and pride. They will not allow themselves to be subjugated by the majesty of Allah, when in reality, they are subjects and servants of Allah. Because they can't do what they want.
This is a continuous problem for a lot of us, right? Having pride and arrogance in many, many elements.
Yeah, just because Allah's talking about disbelievers doesn't mean that we don't have part of it.
Yeah.
If you actually think about it, why do you actually commit any sins? At that moment, you reject the majesty of Allah and you give yourself a supremacy. And that, if you just think about it like that, you say, there's no way, how can I be doing that? Because as a believer, you know you're a little speck and Allah is the majesty, the Lord of all kings and everything that exists. But that's what we do when we disobey Allah. We're rejecting His majesty. That's a terrible thing.
On a minute scale, but we are doing
it. Yeah, that's what we're doing. In essence, it again reminds you of the kibar. The root cause of all of this is that arrogance and pride. Then the result of it, what is the result? He's going to have a painful torment in this world and the next, and that's only because he chose that way and he deserves it. The justice of Allah.
Sheikh, we're going to stop here today, inshallah. We will continue this journey. Brothers and sisters, please join us on the next episode where we will continue this beautiful journey, Suratul Hajj, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.